Welcome to the July 18th, 2010 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Being Better Than I Am. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Welcome to College Park. I want you to just, as we get started in worship this morning, I want you to talk to your neighbor and tell him one thing that God did for you this week. Go. You should be talking a lot. Go.
All right, sir.
Absolutely. Hey, Sean. Okay, I know there are many other things that God has done for you this week. We'll go ahead and want you to share those maybe a little bit later. As we get started this morning, we want to find out who was in worship today. We do that with the pew pads that you'll find on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests, if you could fill that out for us, put your name down, check the correct boxes, and send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask, once it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back to where it got started. This helps us, once it gets back to that first person, if you could tear out the pages that were used this morning, our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us with that. A few announcements today. We are having children's time that today, right after the first hymn. Kids are going to come down and meet me right down here for just a few minutes. Let's see. Other announcements, I want to invite Mr. Russell Talley. Come on.
Good morning. Morning. Not bad. One day I'll be Roger when I grow up. Last Sunday, a large group of us came over and did some serious relocating of adult preschool and children's Sunday school classrooms. The process went extremely well. We were mostly done in about 45 minutes, actually, so it went really well. I got to put a changing table together, which rocked. That was cool. Took me way back. That was good. And as you've probably noticed by now, around the corner over here, renovation of the preschool department is underway. Woohoo! And the best part of all this for me was all of the excitement and the enthusiasm of the folks that were here helping Sunday for the move. That was really great. And ladies and gentlemen, the renovation buzz has begun, let me tell you. Now, meanwhile, back at the ranch, members of the Facilities Update Committee and the Sunday School Council have been approached saying, wow, this whole relocate and moving thing looks like so much fun. When do we get to move? Yeah, boy. If you believe that, I got some land in Florida I want you to look at. To give you an idea of how we think this will all transpire, when the preschool renovation is complete, which the contractors think will probably be about 6 weeks. Again, that's an estimate. We don't know for sure. The next area that will be up for renovation will be the third floor of the education building where the children and preschool departments are now. And then the last area of that building will be the basement floor. As far as we know, that's how it will go. Now, don't hold me to a timetable on that because we don't know how long each step might take. Now, if you have questions about how you or your class might fit into all of this shell game that we call renovations, talk with me or a member of the Sunday School Council, and we'll either give you the answer if we know it, or more likely if we don't, we'll find out for you. I am also willing, if you need for me to come to your Sunday school class and talk about it in person, if it will help and if you want me to do that. Just let me know. Thanks.
Good morning. As Russell said, the renovation has begun. Thank you. He kind of answered a lot of the things. Just so you know, if y'all have any questions about what's going on over there, he's correct in them saying about 6 weeks. So they've got 1 week under their belt. I think we ought to start the 6 week clock now instead of last week. But, you know, the stairways, we can use them to go up and down. We can't go through. And y'all get used to that, because after the renovation is complete, the preschool hall will be a secure area. So we won't be able to use that, the main hallway, to come from outside, to come through the church anywhere else, unless you're going upstairs or downstairs. There'll no longer be a way to just come through. And that's to enhance the security, which was asked for previously. So it's a good exercise to get used to not being able to walk straight through. And if y'all have any questions about what's going on, what the next step is, if it has to do with class locations or relocations, he's your man. If it has to do with construction or what's going on there, Charlie Jones is your man. So y'all just feel free to just anything questions you have. No, seriously, anybody on the facility update committee would be glad to tell you what's going on. Thank you.
Okay, several other announcements we have. Our youth are headed to New York City this afternoon. Our high schoolers will be spending some time working throughout several of the boroughs, Manhattan and the Bronx and Queens, and probably a little bit in Brooklyn as well, working with homeless, as well as doing prayer stations throughout the city, just asking people on the street, how can we pray for you today? It's going to be a challenging week. It's going to be pushing the envelope for all of us, but that's exactly what God has called us to do, not only in New York City, but here in Winston, because there are people everywhere that need his love, and we want to share that love. And so we would ask that you would pray for the youth. We have a team of 24 that's going up there, leaving at about 3 o'clock this afternoon. Many of you have already provided items to be, we're making gift packs to give away to the people we minister with. We're taking those items all the way up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Those are organized in Smith Hall. If you're able to bring any of those items, things like deodorants and soaps and washcloths and shampoos, toothbrush, toothpaste, those kinds of everyday necessities, we're glad to take those and take those with us to New York. We will be back next Sunday, so we would ask for your prayers that entire time. There will be, for the New York City Mission Team, we're going to have a commissioning time at the end of the service. You'll see that printed there in your bulletin. I'm going to invite all those who are here today, part of the New York City Mission Team. At that time, you just come down front, and we will guide you through that. One more quick announcement. Vacation Bible School is 2 weekends away. And the way we do VBS around here is not just for the kids. It is for everyone. This year's VBS is called A Weekend at the Park. It's going to start Friday night and go all the way through Sunday night. And we have activities for every age, Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. This will include meals. Whenever we're supposed to eat, we're going to eat. Whenever we're supposed to do Bible study, we'll do that. And we'll even have a mission project. And we have up to 3 or 4 mission projects that we're working on that Saturday afternoon, as a church, we're going to go out and be the hands and feet of Christ in our neighborhood. So we want you to come. All we're going to need to provide is the tools and the labor. All the materials will be provided for us. And so this is something for everyone to be a part of. Read the newsletter for more details, and it's going to be a great, great weekend. Let me see. other announcements you'll see in your upcoming events, opportunities for the week. We are having a church conference this week, this Wednesday night at 6:30. Make note of that. Any other announcements? All right. I think that's it. We want to say a special welcome to our guest this morning. A few minutes ago, you gave us your information on the pew pad, and we appreciate you doing that. We would like to give something to you. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. The ushers will come back down the aisles now. Just lift your hand, and the ushers will recognize you, give you a packet of information. Inside the packet, you will find a letter from our pastor. Also, you'll find a little bit of the story of College Park and a newsletter that gives you the most up-to-date information about all the things that are happening here. So we are very thankful for your presence this day. It is time for us to worship as the body of Christ. Let us prepare to do just that. Father, that is exactly what we have been called to do, to bring glory and honor and blessings to your name. You sit on the throne of our lives. You are Lord. You are Maker. Let us recognize you for that. That you are in charge, you are in control. For this day, help us to choose to relinquish control to you and to worship you for who you are. Come in this place, we pray, and speak straight to us, and let us have the ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. there are a lot of reasons the color red, but there's one reason why I don't. I don't like the color red. Well, that's a good one. Well, you remember that story. That's right. That's one reason when I touched the stove and I got popped by Mom. But there's another reason. And actually goes another story with my mom. Now, my mom was a teacher. Do you know teachers? Now, when they correct, now, don't they give like tests and quizzes and homework? Now, how do you know if on your homework that you get something wrong? When you get it back, what does it look like? A big X. It could look like something like that. Well, some teachers like using red to show you how bad you got something wrong. My mom was one of those teachers. She was a math teacher, and I had her when I was in 11th grade. If you're in 11th grade, raise your hand. See? Well, we have more, but they don't know how old they are. They got a big X. All right. When I was in 11th grade, my mom was my math teacher, and she would give out hard tests, really difficult quizzes, and I would get them back, and I had lots of these on them, lots of X's where I messed up. Now, why would my mom or any of our teachers show us an X when we got something wrong? That's right. They're teaching you that they want you to get stuff right, and they had to show you what was wrong. You know, sometimes God does the exact same thing. Hold out your hand. Hold out your hand. There's a little thing there. Everybody pull out your hand. There, 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 there. Don't worry, moms, this will come off. All right. Now, have you ever felt like you did something wrong in your life? Not just on a test, but maybe you said something that was mean or ugly, or you didn't do what your mom or dad said, or you were mean to your brother or your sister or your neighbor. Have you ever done something like that? Hit your cousin in the back of the head? Yes, that would, yes. Did he deserve it? Oh, he deserved it. Okay. But sometimes God shows us when we mess up. Sometimes when we make mistakes, God shows us. But how do we know how we're supposed to live? Is there an example? You know, like on a test, my mom had what she called a key. It was 100, it was perfect. It was 100 out of 100. It was the right answers, right? But who's got the right answers for us, how to live our life? God does. Jesus does. He lived a perfect life, right? Do you remember that? Remember that? He didn't have any X's. He didn't have any red dots. So we're supposed, Pastor Raymond's going to talk in a few minutes about exactly that. Sometimes we have to be corrected. Sometimes we have to be shown when we make mistakes. These X's, just like on your test at school, remind us where we make our mistakes. In your life, in my life, I make mistakes all the time. But I read the Bible, right? That shows me where I mess up. And I pray. God talks to me. My parents teach me what I should do. So, when you look at your hand today, you're going to mess up today. You're going to say something that wasn't nice. You're going to say something that you wish you hadn't. You're going to disobey your mom or your dad. You're going to smack your cousin in the back of the head. Remember that God wants you to be like Him. And so He shows us when we're not. That's what these X's are about. Can you remember that? Let's pray together. Let's pray. God, we love You, and we thank You for this morning. We thank You that You want us to learn. You want us to be more like You. And so, Father, You've given us Your Bible. You've given us Sunday school teachers and parents to correct us.
because you want us to be more like you. Help us to do that, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Where'd it go? All right. Go back to your seat.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, it is an honor and a privilege to be in your house today, to come to you in prayer. It is a blessing to see these children up here, to know that there are others in the nursery who are in your house today. Their parents cared enough about them to bring them here today. Lord, it is a blessing to hear these beautiful voices lifted in praise to you, our Lord and our God and our Creator. Lord, already this morning I've received a powerful, powerful reminder that you are the reason for my life. You are the reason for everything. You are the reason we all exist. You are the reason that we have water to drink and food to eat. You're the reason that we have family and friends, people that care about us, people that know us well enough and love us enough to share with us about you. You are the reason for everything, Lord. You are number one, and there is no number two. And as we receive that reminder today, on the first day of the week, the Sabbath day, the day that we owe to you, Lord, help us this week to live in a way that shows that we understand that. Lord, help me live in a way that shows that I know that you are the reason for all of this. Lord, help me not to put other things ahead of you, but to put you first and to live in a way that will allow me to be closer to you and for others to see you working in my life. Lord, that is my prayer today for me and for everyone here. Lord, thank you for loving us the way you do. Thank you for not giving up on us, even when we are selfish and even when we fall victim to the notion that we can control our lives. We are not in control, Lord. You are in control. Help us to acknowledge that, to defer to you, and to say, yes, Lord, you are in control. Guide us, lead us today and tomorrow. Lord, help us to put you first and allow all the things of this world, many of which are important, but none of which are as important as you, to take their rightful place. Help us to live in a way that we understand and we acknowledge and we affirm that you are our Lord, you are our Creator, and you are the reason that we exist and the reason that we are here. Lord, thank you for everyone here. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for this incredible blessing of these young people going to New York City to do mission work with people who don't know you and who have not had some of the blessings that we've had of knowing you and understanding your role in our lives. Bless them in every way possible as they go do that. And for those of us who are in different mission fields this week, help us to be who you want us to be, to do what you want us to do, and to live in a way that says, I know who God is, and I am living for God. Lord, for all the things of our lives, for all the many thousands of reasons we have to be thankful to you, Lord, we thank you, we love you, we need you. And this week, help us to live in a way that shows that we know that. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. you pray with me, please? Dear Lord, we know that we are a work in process. We're far from the finished product. Each of us falls short of your will in our lives, this community, this church, individually. Please help us to refocus our minds and our hearts this morning. Let us take one step forward, back closer to you. We return today a small portion of our blessings. Use them to further your kingdom here on earth. In your name we pray. Amen.
never been so weary. How I need to know you're near me. Father, let the world just fade away till I'm on my knees, till my heart can sing. He is, he was, he always will be. Even when it feels like there is no one holding me, be still, my soul, he is. Father, let your Holy Spirit sing. Let it calm the storm inside of me as I lift my hands and say, he is, he was, he always will be. He lives, he loves, he's always with me. Feels like there is no one holding me. Be still, my soul, through every fear and every doubt and every tear I shed. Down every road I'm not alone. No matter where I am, he is, he was, he always will be. He lives, he loves, he's always with me. Feels like there is no one holding me. Be still, my soul. Be still and know. Be still, my soul. He is.
Do you remember the passage we concluded with last Sunday? It was a lot of he is type statements. We were talking about truth and the nature of truth and who is truth. And we concluded by reading a passage from Colossians chapter 1. And we read from verse 15 on for a few verses. And I said, we'll pick up there next week. Well, I'm true to my word. That's what exactly what we're going to do. But we're going to back up and pick up those last few verses that we read last week to kind of set the stage for this week. Okay, so if you'll take your Bible out, we're going to read from Colossians chapter 1, and we'll read verses 15 through 28. So again, hopefully if you were here last week, you'll recognize the first few verses as how we kind of concluded. Paul is writing about the person of Jesus, the supremacy of Christ. And in verse 15, he writes, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things,
And in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything He might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction for the sake of His body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim Him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we thank You for the chance to be together as Your children, to study Your Word, Father, to hear what You have to say to us through Your Word. Father, we thank You for the gift of life that You've given each of us today. Father, help us not to take it for granted. Help us to maximize the time that we have to spend with each other, learning from one another, the fellowship of the Spirit that we enjoy with each other. And most of all, Father, the fellowship of the Spirit that points us to You, that allows us to see You more clearly, to understand what You have for us as we begin to look at Your Word and apply it to our lives today. Father, we thank You for Your Word, how it guides us, corrects us, gives us opportunities to see You more clearly. For it's in the name of Your precious Son that we pray and ask these things. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm not perfectly happy with who I am in terms of the fact that I could be better. You notice the sermon title is Being Better Than I Am. And as I thought about that, I thought, how many of us are really content? How many of us feel like that we are the best person that we could be? How many of us feel like that we've learned all that we could learn, or that we've accomplished all that we have to accomplish, and that we've reached our full potential? How many of us think perhaps that we could stand some improvement? We'll take a show of hands on that. How many of us think that God is not through with us yet? That God is going to continue to teach us, that He's going to change some old habits that we have and make us better in the sense that we're more conformed to the image of Christ. And see, and that's the goal. It's not that we can do anything to make God love us more, because He loves us completely. It's not that we can do anything that makes Him love us less. He loves us completely. So we understand who we are in Christ, and we understand that. That's not what we're talking about this morning. What we're talking about this morning is our attitudes and our behavior. How we think. Are we being conformed to the image of Christ? So the question is, how can I be better than I am now? Can I be? And the obvious answer is yes. I can be a better person than I am, and so can you. And this morning we're going to talk about three practical steps that will help us be better than we are now. And these come straight from Colossians chapter 1. If you want to jot them down in the notes there in your order of service, you're welcome to do so. It may be good for a refresher during the course of this week when life kind of crashes down on you. And you're tempted to be the old person, you can say, wait a minute, you know, I need to back up and kind of follow these steps. The first practical application of this scripture is that we may become a better person by seeking or being sensitive to the divine will for our lives. You know, last week we talked again from the early verses in Colossians chapter 1, and Paul prayed in verse 9 that his readers would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Filled with the knowledge of God's will. Understand what God's will is is for our life. And we need to understand that we can become a better person by growing in knowledge, by growing in wisdom, which is the application of knowledge into life, and spiritual understanding, which comes from the leadership, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The writer of Proverbs advised us in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, get wisdom, and whatever else you get insight. So wisdom, understanding the divine will. These are all fruits of prayer, of Bible study, of really meditating on God's word and what it means for you, application of that, reflection. Those are all things that we get from spending time with God and in God's word. And in doing so, we are seeking and we are becoming sensitive to the divine will for our life. The second application of the scripture is that we can become a better person through a change of mind. A change of our mind. This is where change begins. This is where temptation begins. This is where change begins, in the mind. How many of you ever said or caught yourself saying, I've made up my mind to do this or that or the other? I've made up my mind and that's the way it's going to be. We've heard it said, and Paul understood that. He knows the power of the mind. He knew the power of the mind. So in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. The Good News Bible puts it even plainer. It says, let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. You see, that's what real repentance is that. It's if you're walking one direction, and walking being a mental state of mind, or perhaps even physically walking in one direction, and you realize the error of that path, and so you turn around 180 degrees, and you go back into fellowship with God. That's what repentance is. That is a change of your mind, a change of your heart. And as we talked about last week, our beliefs inevitably affect our behavior. So changing the way we think, changing our belief system, may be the best way to change how we conduct ourselves. I would argue it's the best way. You know, how do we do that though? Changing your mind. You know, I learned a lot of things in youth ministry. But as you're dealing with adolescents who are constantly changing, their world, you talk about, if you don't like change, don't go back to adolescence. Because everything is changing by the minute. And so I learned from them, sometimes, most of the time, it's easier to act your way into a new way of thinking than it is to think your way into a new way of acting. Did you get that? It's easier to go ahead and act your way in the way that you know you're supposed to go, and that will begin to change your thinking process. That's a whole lot easier to do than to wrap your mind around a complete change and then try to, and if you don't believe that that's true, think about New Year's resolutions. How many of you even remember what your New Year's resolution was? And how is that affected? So many times the change, it doesn't stick if we're trying to do it all with our mind. We need to put feet on it. We need to begin acting in a way. Educators will tell you that. If you want learning to take place, you need them to act upon it as soon as possible. That way it's reinforced. They remember. They remember what they're doing. When we begin doing the things of Christ, the things that He's taught us, the things that He's encouraged us to do, studying God's Word more, living it out in our lives, and working out in our faith for God's glory, not ours, but for God's glory, when we do all those things, then we begin to see our way of thinking has been changed. Our beliefs are being conformed to God's will, and beliefs in turn affect what? Behavior. So it's this glorious cycle. This change of heart, this change of our minds will inevitably lead us to the good works that Paul was talking about in verse 10 when he exhorted the Colossians to bear fruit in every good work. He understood that. He got it. And a change of heart and a change of mind should also lead to more dedicated worship, should lead to more thanksgiving in our own hearts and minds. Paul said in verse 12, with joy give thanks to the Father. Through private, through public worship, our attitudes are altered and our personalities are molded more into the image of God and what He wants us to be. The third suggestion is that, well, we know that a primary way that we can become a better person is by following the example of Jesus, right? Don't you understand that? If we want to be a better person, if we follow the example of Jesus, that seems like a no-brainer. And we're going to spend kind of the rest of our time here today, because you see in verse 15 that I read, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And in Jesus, God dwelled as in no one that has ever lived. That seems like an overstatement of the obvious, but sometimes we do need to state that. God was in Christ. God was Christ. Christ was God. And in Jesus, the divine nature can clearly be seen. Theodore Parker was a gentleman who lived in the mid-1800s. And although I don't agree with a lot that he came to write in his later years, but early in his life, he wrote a statement, and it is regard to Jesus and how Jesus is a reflection of God. And I thought, you know, that's pretty good. Let me read it to you. He said, in Him, that is Jesus, in Him, the God and the human met and embraced, and a divine life was born. In Him, as in a mirror, we may see the image of God. And I would argue to say, in Him, we see not just the image, but we see God. We see God in Jesus. Eric Rust was a professor of philosophy of religion at Southern Seminary in the 1950s and 60s. And he wrote, in Christ, we also see ourselves as God intended us to be. And by His grace, we are being conformed more and more to that image which God originally intended for us. Thus, Christ's humanity is a divine disclosure of God's intention for us. For us, image means copy, replica, likeness. If we would know our true nature, we must look at the life of our Lord. That's deep. If we would know our true nature, we need to look at the life of our Lord. And how do we know how our Lord lived if we never open His Word? We can't. We find Christ revealed in Scripture. We find God revealed in Christ. And we find Christ revealed in Scripture. Paul used the phrase, Christ in you, in verse 27. Christ in you. What a concept. What an awesome privilege that the Christ potential is in each one of us. Not that we can become Christ, but that we can become more like Christ. When we call ourselves Christians, Christ ones literally, when we call ourselves Christians, what that means is we're professing that we are striving to become more like Christ, which is exactly what Christ wants for us. That's exactly what we should let Him shine through us. We should reflect the very nature of Christ. That's what we should be doing. I remember in 1991, Father's Day, 1991, I got from my mother-in-law perhaps the coolest present ever. I got a t-shirt that had my son's picture, 3 months old, picture on the front of the t-shirt. And you got to remember, this is 1991. This was still revolutionary stuff, you know? You know, we got an image, and the photograph on the t-shirt looked about as good as the picture that it had come from. I thought, that is the coolest thing ever. Absolutely cool. And so you can imagine just my sheer joy when I discovered that the printer, the inkjet printer I had in my house, if you bought this cool paper, you could print that stuff on there and make your own t-shirt. That was unbelievable. And then it was just ecstasy when I saw that you could actually print on the canvas itself. They give you the canvas, you print on your inkjet printer. And what I learned from that is I thought about that, and as I went nuts with this technology, and I thought about today's sermon, and I thought, wow, you know, I wonder if in my joy to have my son's picture on the front of me, I wonder if I would take that kind of joy in letting others see Christ through me. Is my life giving a clear picture of Christ? Am I clearly reflecting who Christ is in the way that I live and the way that I treat other people? It should be that clear. It should be as clear as if there's a photograph on the front of us. We reflect. We should reflect the image of God as it was meant to by patterning our lives after the life of Jesus, the Son of Man. When others look at us, they should see something, someone else living in us, living through us, just as clear as if it was printed on our shirt. And by getting to know Jesus, we come to realize who we are and the better person that we're intended to be. We learn not only to pattern our lives after Jesus, but to reflect His nature before others. So can I be a better person than I am? Boy, I hope so. God's Word promises me I can. So I take strength in that. By growing in the knowledge of God and being sensitive to the divine will, by beginning to act our way into a new way of thinking and pursuing good works, and above all, by following the example of Jesus before us, we can be better persons. We can reflect the image of God and be the kind of man or woman that God created us to be. And others will notice the difference. And maybe, just maybe, they will desire that for their own lives. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank You for Your Word, how it gives us hope and correction, encouragement, direction. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to study together, to learn from each other, and to learn from Your Holy Spirit who guides us. Father, we thank You for the privilege of worship. Worship that we can focus on You and direct toward You, because we know that You love us. You love us so much that You sent Jesus to show us how to live, to show us how to die, and show us that we can have victory over death through a relationship with Him. Father, we thank You for the Holy Spirit that then guides us each day as we seek to live lives that are pleasing to You and reflect Jesus in us. Father, as we go into a time of decision, we pray that You would correct us where we need correction. Touch us, cleanse us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, you don't know who He is, you may know a few facts about Him, but you don't have a personal relationship, that's what He desires for you, a personal relationship with Him. I'll be here in the front as we stand in just a moment and sing. I'll be glad to share with you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, you say, Raymond, I know who Jesus is. I have a relationship with Him, but I haven't really been living in a way that reflects Him in my life. And I want to be a little more serious about that. I want to get back on track with that. You can pray where you are. You can come to the front if you'd like to pray at the altar. You'd like to speak with me. I'll be glad to speak with you and pray with you. Whatever your decision is in that regard, we will honor and encourage you. If you're here this morning and you'd like to be a part of this fellowship, it's a wonderful body of believers. We're not perfect, but we do encourage and love one another. So there are many ways we receive members, and I'll be glad to share with you how you can be part of this fellowship in, quote, an official capacity. I'll be glad to share that with you. But whatever your decision is, would you share that with us as we stand and sing together now? Be seated for just a moment. Those who are going to be part of our New York mission team, if you would please come to the front. Adults and youth that will be participating. You want to tell them what you...
As they make their way down, we want to just just briefly, some of the things that we will be doing. We are working with Street Life Ministries. They are a mission that's founded in Queens. They do a variety of work. Part of their work is they have a van they call the Step Van. It is a self-contained food service unit that they will drive around to various places in the city, and they will serve the homeless. Right out of the van, they'll serve them food, and then the people that are working, like our team, will be ministering with the homeless people that will be serving, talking with them, just getting to know one another, sharing Christ's love with them. We'll be doing that most every day. The other part of our work that we'll be doing is we'll be traveling, again, throughout the city, stopping at major intersections and setting up what's known as prayer stations. These are just places... major intersections where young people will kind of spread out and then begin to ask people as they walk by, is there any way that we can pray for you today? And just try to open up some kind of conversation between the people of the team and the people in New York City. So it's not going to be so easy. Some of the mission work. Mountain Outreach is a certain kind of mission work. This is another kind of mission work. And our team has been preparing for that. They've been preparing their testimonies to be able to share with the people that we'll be coming in contact with. And so that kind of gives you just a brief overview of what's happening in New York.
Very good. I want to ask those who are part of the team, if you would just get in a huddle kind of in the center. Just kind of pull the corners in, come into a huddle. And I want to invite our deacons, if they would, whether you're currently serving on the active board or not, all of our deacons, if you're able to, if you would come down, please. You are representative of the body. And I also want to invite the parents of any of these who are going, if you would come join us. We're going to lay hands on them and just pray for them that they'll have a safe trip and that God will use them in a way that just literally will change lives in ways that we can't even imagine. So if you would make your way on down. If you can't get a hand through to get a hold of someone that's actually going, just lay hands on the person in front of you, and we'll just do it by come on, parents, get the parents up here. Yeah. For all of us that will remain here, take seriously. This is just not a one-time prayer. This should be a trip that all week is bathed in prayer. So I challenge you, even as we pray this morning, to make a commitment in your own heart to pray all week. As Paul said, exhorted us to pray without ceasing. That's what it means. Pray all week for their safety and their travel and their witness. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the chance to send out. Send out those who have been preparing themselves. Father, we know that they can do nothing without you, that they can do nothing of their own strength that really amounts or accounts for eternity. But we know that through you they can do all things. And so, Father, we claim that promise. And we pray that you would protect them. Father, that you would put a hedge around them and that they would feel that. That they would feel that protection. But also, Father, we pray that they would be bold in their witness, knowing that you walk with them. Father, we pray that as they go now, that the path has been made fertile, that your Holy Spirit goes before them to light the path and to prepare the hearts of those that they will encounter, and that your Holy Spirit, again, will do the work as they are faithful to tell and to testify and be your witnesses. Father, be with their leaders. Give them energy. Give them wisdom, so that any situation they encounter, they would truly know how to deal and how to work through those situations. Father, we love you. We pray that you would remind us all week, constantly remind us to pray for this group and their witness and their testimony. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. I want to ask the participants, if they would just line up the front, deacons and parents. You can have a seat for just a moment. Let me do this. Let me have the parents stay here. The deacons can go ahead and have a seat, but the parents stay here with your participant, with your young person. And we're going to have the benediction, and then I want you as a congregation to come by, give them a hug, speak to them, encourage them, make your pledge to them that you will be praying for them as they go. Would you stand with me now for our benediction? Following our benediction, we'll have the response, and then you can come and speak to them. Dear Heavenly Father, as your children, we strive to know you more completely and to serve you more perfectly. So now as we go, whether it be to New York or whether it be to our community, to our neighborhood, walk with us. Transform us by the renewing of our minds. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.